Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
For you to call and get in on the conversation with us. That's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Riley,
and Nikki.
And we have a lot of stuff to cover tonight. I mean, the news has just been, I guess it never really stops, but I feel like there's been all kinds of interesting stuff to talk about the last several weeks. I haven't been feeling like I have no show prep for weeks. So, Riley brought in a story about an Alabama officer, police officer, who is getting put on leave for doing something really messed up, and we'll get into that. But the first thing I wanted to talk about tonight is this story. This says it's from Spectrum News. It's all over the news. But the story I'm reading it from is on Spectrum News. Treasury Department launches new fentanyl strike force.
Oh, so they're coming more after drugs now, are they?
Yeah, but I just think it's a little weird. Like, they already have an FDA, you know?
Yeah, and the FDA is generally an organization that's designed to go after things like fentanyl and marijuana and things like that. So I'm wondering, why do they need another drug task force?
Well, it sounds like they're trying to replace the cops, right? Because, like, this is what the, like... You know, on the street, cops are supposed to be doing.
Sure.
That's an interesting observation.
And obviously, they're not, I mean, like, by the government standards of what cops are supposed to do in terms of the drug war, obviously, they're not doing a quote-unquote good enough job because drugs have been winning the war on drugs for the past, since it started.
Yeah.
So, and it's only getting worse.
And so. I didn't really think of it like that. It's do any other... Well, yeah, there are federal forces. I don't know if it's necessarily called a task force. And if I said task force earlier, it's actually a strike force. But not that I know the difference between that and a task force.
Yeah,
but
it sounds like
government
the same
lingo.
Thing, yeah.
And so what I was going to say was, yeah, I guess there is a federal one already, which is the FDA or DEA, but you kind of think of that as, like, international, so maybe that's what this is going to be. If it's
maybe.
On the streets, that'd be really odd. I mean, DEA does do stuff in the United States, too, but it's, like you said, it's not like the cops just going around and busting people on the streets, so it would be really weird. Maybe they're going to just start being like, yeah, you know what, you guys are right. Cops are bad. Let's get rid of them and just replace them with all federal.
And that can be really bad, too, because really they're bad. Replacing, you know, local police with federal police.
That'd be way worse.
Oh, absolutely, because then we're not being governed by people within our own neighborhood. We're being governed by federal employees. And, yeah, maybe they'll take the federal employees from our neighborhoods or whatever, but they're still employed by the largest terrorist organization on the planet.
Yeah, and we see this already, kind of, where like, you know, like... They'll be raiding someone's house over drugs, right? And it's not just the local cops that are raiding the house. It's like they bring in the state police, they bring in the SWAT team, they bring in, you know, they bring in all of these other, like, federal government organizations. And essentially, like, in certain cases, it seems like the local cops don't have jurisdiction anymore. They're like, the FBI comes in and they're like, no, you know, like, we're running this crime scene now, sort of thing.
Yeah, and I never like to say anything potentially good sounding about cops, but at least like in Jay Noon's case with his wife getting gone after by the Children Protective Services in New Hampshire, at least in his case, like, he knows his local cop and was able to use his services to kind of help get those CPS people off his back.
Yeah, I mean, and obviously, like, the system we have in place with policing is not ideal, but that is one of the things where, you know, it kind of like as you work your way up the ladder, like, it just gets worse and worse and worse, because, like, FBI agents, I mean, like, they're completely detached, or even, like, CPS agents, like, they're completely detached from what's going on in the local community. Like, when you have, like, these state and federal people coming in versus just, like, town and county people.
They're less,
you know,
less,
I mean,
responsible to you.
Right.
And absolutely.
They're less, they're less accountable to you as well, because they're working for a larger entity and they're not accountable to you as a local town, because they're working for the big man upstairs, you know, the federal government.
Mm-hmm. And if they're less, if they aren't working for someone you know personally, and it's just all far away and detached, like Nikki said, they're more likely to just play dirty and not care, not face any repercussions. But let's get into this story, this specific story. The Treasury Department, which is a really odd department for this, launches new fentanyl strike force. The U.S. Treasury Department announced Monday that it has launched a new strike force to counter fentanyl trafficking.
Wait, so is this about money? Is this about taxes?
I don't know.
Right, like, why would the Treasury be?
I've never heard of any type of a U.S. Treasury Department strike force, so I have no idea.
See, this doesn't make a lot of sense, because the Treasury Department should be about finances and money, why are they coming after fentanyl?
Well, I think maybe they're finally admitting what the war on drugs is actually about.
A war on money?
Yeah, well, it's a war on you're not paying your taxes and you're doing things black market. That's really what it is.
Yeah, that, and the war on drugs is really a war on people.
Yeah.
And people who want to buy and sell, you know, chemicals that are mind-altering, shall we say, they generally aren't going to pay taxes on these things, and the government still wants their fair share. They want to steal profits from companies, and, you know, this is why
they get more than their fair share in, like, South America with, like, cocaine and stuff. They get they make all kinds
absolutely.
Of money.
Absolutely, and I mean, we see this all the time with pharmaceuticals, right? So doctors can legally prescribe patients all these sort of addictive pharmaceuticals that people are abusing, things like, you know, like Xanax and Ambien and, you know, like gabapentin, Suboxone, methadone, like all of these things that are absolutely drugs. And a lot of these things have the intention to replace street drugs. So it's like, no, like, we're going to get you clean. You're not going to do the street drugs anymore. We're going to give you your government approved, like, FDA drugs, and, you know, you're going to go through your insurance. There's going to be taxes paid on it. It's like a more official way to essentially do drugs, and it's legal. So it sounds to me like they're just kind of, like, finally admitting, like, what this is all really about, and it's that they want to get their cut of the profit.
Right.
Well, it says the department made the announcement one day before Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen was set to travel to Mexico to meet with government officials and private sector leaders to strengthen the two countries' economic ties. It's just like, I don't know, just let people freely move across the imaginary line and freely, you know, trade with each other. Why do we need Janet Yellen going over there to strengthen our economic ties with Mexico? Yeah. Like, we love Mexicans.
Yeah.
Through the strike force, we will conduct joint analysis of the financial flows of fentanyl trafficking networks, a senior Treasury official said during a briefing Monday previewing the announcement. We'll strengthen operational coordination on both civil and criminal investigations, and we'll partner with local and federal law enforcement to share information. It doesn't say so far if that's just, like, through Mexico. It says, the majority of fentanyl that comes into the U.S. is manufactured in foreign clandestine labs and smuggled into the U.S. through its southern border, according to the U.S. Drug Enforcement Agency. Fentanyl seizures at the U.S.-Mexico border with Mexico, it says the U.S.-Mexico with border, are almost five times higher in 2023 than they were in 2020, according to U.S. Customs and Border Protection. Fentanyl is 50 times more potent than heroin and is lethal with a dose of just 2 milligrams.
Wow. That's an intense thing.
It is, yeah. That's why they use it to make more their heroin go further, because a tiny little bit of...
Yeah, that's how it started, and that's like where a lot of people were overdosing, because they were using heroin, right? And they're like, oh, yeah, whatever. I'm going to use the same amount that I always do, and then maybe they got it from a different person, maybe, you know, it's... And then there's fentanyl in it, and it's a lot stronger. But I've literally heard people say, like, oh, that person overdosed, like, I want to go to their drug dealer, because they have the good stuff. Imagine that. Like, wow. They have the strong stuff. Yeah, people are dying. It's like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, some people are insane. Yeah.
That is insane.
That's addiction for you.
I know. It is addiction.
It says, nationally, more than 107,000 people in the United States died from drug overdose deaths in the United States in 2022, according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control. Of those, 68% involved synthetic opioids, most of which were illegally manufactured fentanyl. Fentanyl trafficking is often disguised as legitimate commercial trade, a senior Treasury official said, and poses a deadly threat to both the United States and to Mexico. The new task force is designed to expose and disrupt illegal networks that traffic in fentanyl and its chemical precursors by cutting off financial and commercial access. So, yeah, it does have something to do with money. So somehow they're going to be going after people's financial and commercial access who are selling the drug. Maybe that's through, like they didn't let the truckers receive their money. Maybe they're going to do stuff like that, like just be freezing bank accounts. I don't know.
But isn't that kind of like already what they do? Like if they find out someone, like asset forfeiture? You know, like, if they find out, like, oh, you have, you know, this bag of drugs and you also have, like, a bunch of cash on you and maybe whatever else, they just take all of your stuff, whether it's legal or not, because it was paired with, you know, with the drugs. So they're like, we're going to assume that you are committing crimes with all of this stuff, so we're just going to steal all your stuff. So they're already kind of doing that, and I'm sure they're already freezing people's bank accounts that are suspected of doing illegal activity.
Yeah. It seems like, well, most of the time when government comes out with a new group of government goons, it seems a little unnecessary. It's just like a new job position for people to have in the government. It says fentanyl trafficking is... Oh, yeah, we already read that. 2 years ago, President Biden signed the Illicit Drug Executive Order, giving the Treasury Department expanded authorities to combat narcotics trafficking by going after the producers of counterfeit pill presses and precursor chemicals used to manufacture fentanyl. The department has imposed 200 sanctions since the executive order was issued, including a transnational criminal organization supplying precursor chemicals the Treasury targeted just last week, the official said. That could be bad. Like, they're going after people in other countries who are creating precursor chemicals, like things that are used to make fentanyl. I don't know, that could be bad for people who are into buying things that aren't necessarily able to be manufactured in the United States, like people who are into buying certain smart drugs. I can't remember that word right now.
Oh, nootropics?
Nootropics.
I think
was narcotics, but
nootropics are smart drugs, yeah.
That could be bad for people like them, because a lot of time, how though? Because a lot of time whenever you're buying a nootropic, it's not manufactured in the United States, because it doesn't even necessarily have to be illegal. People are just like, nah, I'm not doing it there, because they'll go after you.
So this isn't going to be specifically for things that you use to make fentanyl, it's just in general, maybe?
That's what I'm just thinking how this could be bad for other people, because if they're going after manufacturers of precursor chemicals, like, I'm just thinking out loud, it probably isn't just companies who are only making fentanyl. Fentanyl factory.
Everything across the board, yeah.
Yeah, it just seems like a way that the United States is abusing their power, probably.
Yeah.
Like they usually do. It says, as part of the new task force, the Treasury plans to focus on transnational criminal groups' financial networks, pressuring financial institutions to report suspicious activity. That reporting directly generates lead information for law enforcement and will help to close regulatory gaps in money laundering, he said. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen will travel to Mexico this week primarily to strengthen economic ties and the supply chain between the U.S. and the country that is now its largest goods trading partner, Mexico. I wonder if that, like, used to be China? I don't know. In addition to meeting with her Mexican counterpart and private sector leaders to deepen economic cooperation between the two countries, it's probably not that. It's probably more like backdoor deals and bad people stuff because it's Janet Yellen. She will also meet with government officials and the financial institutions that operate south of the border to learn more about the illicit flow of money and drugs and best strategies to deter it. One of the values we'll see through these conversations that the secretary will lead is how we can more closely coordinate our respective investigations and actions, a senior treasury official said of Yellen's three-day trip. But yeah, I just thought that was interesting and bad news.
Yeah, absolutely, because here we have another government task force, strike force, if they want to call it that, going after something to make the drugs more expensive and harder to get.
Yep. And,
I mean, it's not going to work.
Oh, of course
not. It's like, people are going to get their drugs. It's never, and like, we saw this, so they were like, cracking down on stuff like, you know, like, people taking, like, black market pharmaceutical pills, like, Percocet and stuff like that, and then it was heroin, and it's like, we're just seeing the progression of this, right? So it's like, how, like, fentanyl used to not be a thing, right? So they were just targeting stuff like heroin, and then clearly that didn't work because now they're just developing even stronger things. I mean, fentanyl was always a thing, but it wasn't really abused like it is, like widely produced. It was more like used in a medical sense, like they would use it as a medical pain management method.
Mm-hmm. And now you said people, like, are using it like that.
Yeah, it's an epidemic now. I mean, like, you can't even get heroin anymore. It's all fentanyl. All of it. You know what I mean? Like, even people that are like, oh, yeah, I'm doing heroin. Like, no, you're not. You're doing fentanyl. Like, you can't. It almost doesn't even exist.
Well.
You know what I mean? So it's just escalating. So it's like, I don't know what it's not working. Whatever they're doing is not working. The drugs are still there. If anything, they're not going up in price. I don't know, like, all this stuff that's, like, not really deterring people from actually doing drugs. It's like, if somebody's addicted to something and if they want it, like, they're going to get it. And a lot of these drug dealers are making a lot of money selling these drugs. Like, they're not going to stop. And it just doesn't seem like, it seems like the more and more and more government restrictions and the more strike forces and, you know, like, the harder they crack down on this stuff, it almost, like, just makes it worse. You know what I mean? If they were to, like, lighten up, legalize drugs completely, decriminalize drugs completely, it would be so much better for the actual people that are using the drugs. Like, they'd be able to use test kits.
They'd be able to get help if they wanted to overcome addictions.
Absolutely.
A lot easier. There wouldn't be the shame and stigma behind, you know, doing a drug because now it's not a criminal behavior. Instead, it's a problem, but it's not a criminal behavior.
Yeah, absolutely. And honestly, like, if people want to do drugs and if people want to sell drugs, like, that's up to them. You know
right.
what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
I don't think it's a good idea, but I don't think I don't think eating McDonald's is a good idea, but I'm not going to be like, we have to outlaw all fast food because it's not good for you. No, like, we're all human beings.
We all have the right to make our own choices and
absolutely.
Live or die by them if we want
absolutely.
To.
Absolutely. And, you know, and it, so it's just, I don't see why it's just making everything worse. And I think it's also increasing, like, the violence surrounding this drug epidemic, right? It's, like, creating more gangs and more tension between, like, the police and, you know, like, the regular people. And it's just, overall, we're seeing the escalation of this, and it's just getting worse and worse. And nothing the state does can make it better. All they can do is make it worse.
I wanted to see if I could find anything about that where it said, something about just last week. It says the department has imposed 200 sanctions since that executive order was issued, like the one by Biden, including a transnational criminal organization supplying precursor chemicals the Treasury targeted just last week. This article we just read was from December 4th, but I couldn't find anything just last week of that, but I did find on October 3rd, it said the Treasury targets large Chinese network of illicit drug producers from October 3rd. And they're targeting 28 individuals and entities in China that are making chemicals that end up being fentanyl.
Okay, because I think that's where most of it comes from.
Yeah, most of it's coming from China, yeah.
And it's always crazy to me whenever the United States government goes and arrests people in another country and like, they're being tried in Florida.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
It says, today, the U.S. Department of Treasury's Office of Foreign Assets Control, or OFAC, designated 28 individuals and entities involved with the international proliferation of illicit drugs, including a China-based network responsible for the manufacturing and distribution of ton quantities of fentanyl, methamphetamine, and MDMA precursors.
Wow.
Those designated by OFAC today are also involved in the global trafficking of xylazine and nitazines, which are highly potent and often mixed with illicit fentanyl and or other drugs. Wow. So there's some more potent than fentanyl getting mixed with the fentanyl now?
Yeah, that's a little scary.
Yeah, I'd never heard of those things. Xylazine with an X?
I feel like, you know, I have heard of that.
Could be like a class.
What do they call it? Is that crank? I think they call it crank.
Maybe I can just go and look this up, like, and it'll just pop up.
Because
like,
I had crank. Just heard that, I had just heard of someone using that recently, and I was like, really? I'd never heard of it.
Oh, wow.
And then I think someone was telling me that that's what... I've heard of crank before, but I don't know.
Trank. Maybe that's what you're saying.
Trank. Yeah,
trank.
So apparently... Crack? I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know my drugs either.
Thank goodness. I don't know, like, heroin and stuff like that.
But, trank, you said, right? Trank.
Yeah, with a Q.
Yeah.
Like tranquilizer.
Yeah. So I had just... heard about this
thing.
Must
be what, yeah.
And it's apparently, yes, like it's saying like it's stronger than fentanyl, and apparently the withdrawals from it are a lot worse.
Wow.
Isn't
fentanyl pretty bad already?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, way worse than, like, heroin. Like, the withdrawals are, like, worse than heroin or, like, any other opiates, right? And this is the thing, like, the stronger the drugs get, like, just the worse and worse and worse everything surrounding it gets, right? So with the trank... I think also it gives you, because, like, people are shooting it up, obviously, and it gives you, like, these, like, not like a flesh-eating disease, but, like, kind of. It's, like, really, really rough on the veins. It's just
overall.
Doesn't
sound like a fun thing to take. I wonder why people take it.
Probably because it's strong and it gets them high.
I don't know why people do stuff like meth, and that's crazy.
Yeah,
why does
they
want to
be high?
So crazy. 603-283-6160. That's the phone number you can call to get in on the conversation with us. More coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
As the cold and flu season approaches, Silver Lungs is ready to help you and your family through the toughest of the year by supporting your immune system and overall health. From our best-selling colloidal silver generating system to our entire line of silver-based skin gels, nasal sprays, soaps, and silver solutions, Silver Solutions remain one of nature's most powerful and least expensive antibacterial agents. Now you can produce your own for pennies a day in the comfort of your home using the breakthrough technology of the Silver Lungs Generator. Learn more today at www.silverlungs.com.
USA News Update. President Biden's plea for aid to Ukraine and Israel facing obstruction from Senate Republicans due to an absence of changes in U.S. border policy. The national security package, totaling over $100 billion, failed to secure adequate votes to advance in the chamber this evening. There's been a mass shooting on the campus of the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Las Vegas Metro Sheriff Kevin McMahill says the suspect has been located and is dead.
Of course, we have no idea on the motive. There are a number of victims that have been transported to area hospitals.
McMahill confirmed three victims and that the investigation is ongoing, but there is no other threat to the community at this time. House Republicans are warning of contempt of Congress charges for Hunter Biden if he refuses a closed-door deposition scheduled for next week. The chairman of the House Oversight and Judiciary Committees issued subpoenas mandating Hunter's appearance on December 13th. John Schaefer, USA News.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@GCNlive.com.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Is the phone number for you to call. That is 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Riley,
and Nikki.
And it's Free Talk Live. And this hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash, digital cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. In addition to being one of the world's first cryptocurrencies, Dash was the first crypto project to have a decentralized autonomous organization that to this day continues to improve and promote Dash. Every month, 10% of the mining rewards go into a treasury. Anyone with one Dash to spend can put forward a proposal to which one moves forward. They propose which one moves forward and are funded by the treasury. Nowadays, DAOs, which is DAO, Decentralized Autonomous Organization, are plentiful, but Dash paved the way by doing it first nearly a decade ago. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol, and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. And thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. Dash.org. And so in the last segment, we were just getting into what this xylazine stuff is called Trank. Not that that's really, like, newsworthy, but it's interesting to me because now we have something more powerful than fentanyl going around. That's actually being mixed in with fentanyl. It's the fentanyl to it's heroin's fentanyl. Now this is the shrink to the fentanyl.
Oh, wow. I mean, it's kind of scary that some people are into the stuff because, you know, I enjoy weed, don't get me wrong, but, you know, some drugs are just...
it's, like, hard to even compare weed to this stuff, right? You know what I mean?
It's just like, you know, dude, don't be so ridiculous and take all these chemicals. Yeah. You can...
Crocodilia.
Yeah, I was about to say, have you guys ever heard of crocodile?
Yeah, that's what I always think of when I'm thinking of, like, the craziest drug I can believe.
And that's, like, in the United States now. I don't think it's widely used for obvious reasons, but the listeners have never heard of this thing. Mm-hmm. It started, the documentary I watched about it was about Russia.
Yeah.
So there were these, like, underground people living in Russia that were using this drug called crocodile. And, you know, like, as most, like, substances like this, a lot of people will inject them intravenously. And it essentially gives you, like, this awful flesh-eating disease. I can't even remember what they were saying the high was like. Like, I can't even remember what kind of drug it is.
Like,
If it was, like, an upper or a downer or whatever.
I think it was, like,
I'm pretty sure it's not an all-around or, like, a psychedelic.
No, definitely not. It might have been more, like, meth or something. Yeah. I'm not sure. But these people were heavily addicted to it, and they were getting these, like, awful wounds. Like, it would literally give you a flesh eating disease, and it was so sad seeing these people, like, living on the streets, and they're like, I don't want to get too graphic for people that don't have a strong stomach, but it's like, it would literally, like, it was killing them.
Yeah.
Like, it was eating them alive, literally, and these people were just, like, so addicted to it. And I'm sure, I think they were also saying that the withdrawals off of it were so bad. Because I think a lot of people that don't use drugs or, like, aren't really familiar with, like, I don't have any family members or friends or anybody that has been, like, actually addicted to drugs. They don't realize that a lot of people are only doing drugs because they don't want to feel like garbage. They're heavily addicted to these drugs. And even, like, you can get addicted to pharmaceuticals like this. You know what I mean?
Oh, so of course. Like,
you build up this tolerance and you're a dependence. So you have a physical and sometimes even a mental dependence on the substance.
Oh, yeah.
And then
when
you don't use it, you become incredibly sick, incredibly ill, anxious, shaky. Some things, like alcohol, you can have seizures.
Uh-huh.
Or even, like, prescription stuff like Ativan, Klonopin, like stuff that they give you for anxiety. If you're on it for long enough and if you're on a high enough dose, if you stop taking it abruptly, you can have a seizure. You can die. Like, these are very, very serious concerns that people who are addicted to substances have. Like, absolutely a safety concern.
Hmm.
So a lot of these people are like, they're like, oh, you addicts, like, you're just homeless people, trash. Like, there's so much judgment and stigma surrounding it, and it's like, these people, like, they physically, like, need help to stop, or else they might die, or they'll just be so sick that it is so unbearable that they have to go get the drugs so they are not sick anymore. Like, it is the only thing that will
cure.
And
some people actually kind of get addicted to being dope sick, and that's
crazy. That's crazy you use that term, Riley, because I was just about to say that Ian was reading me all the people write stuff inside the jail cell walls. And he was reading me what was on his jail cell wall, and one of them said, I'm dope sick.
Oh, man, Ian has so much time on his hands.
Yeah. I was like, oh,
but yeah,
somebody was, like,
being in
withdrawing
jail
in there.
Sucks. Oh. Imagine, like, also being in withdrawals, and, like,
God.
Like, I think they do have the capabilities in these facilities to, like, give people, like, methadone or whatever to, like, make them not sick.
Mm-hmm.
But they probably don't. I mean, they don't care about you. Like, you're in jail. Like, they don't really care. They're not going to give you, like, especially something like you can't die from, like, heroin or fentanyl withdrawals.
Mm-hmm.
So they really don't care. Like, some stuff, like, if you're going to, like, die, then they're, you know, they can't let you die. But yeah, they don't care if you feel sick. So I couldn't imagine how bad that is, like, being in prison and also, like being trapped in this cell, and you are just so violently ill for days, and there's nothing, like, and they just won't help you. Like, that's so sad to think about. You know,
I agree.
It's inhumane.
It is a little inhumane, and, you know, it's really sad that our prison systems are built this way. I mean, they claim, oh, we just want to help people rehabilitate and get back into society. No, you don't.
No.
You're harming people. You're harming people by locking them in a cage and letting them go through this dope sickness instead of saying, hey, wait a minute, how can we help them get through this? And then rehabilitate back into society.
Yeah, it's sad that doing a drug is something that gets you locked in a cage and treated like less than a human instead
of... Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And I mean, like, going back to the rehabilitation, you know, farce that they have, I know so many people who were arrested for usually drug crimes when they were very young, maybe they were like 18, 19, 20, and they went to jail for, you know, a certain amount of time, and the things they learned slash were doing in jail, like, it essentially, like, taught them how to be a criminal. And then, of course, you know, it's more difficult to get a job after you've been incarcerated, especially if you have a felony. Oh, yeah, boy, good luck getting a job. So then essentially these people are forced, not, I mean, obviously you always have options, but a lot of them, like, the easiest way to go is like, all right, well, now I basically learned how to sell drugs or commit crimes or whatever. So then people kind of, you know, it's not rehabilitating people. It's actually like almost turning people into criminals. You know what I mean? Like, it's teaching you how to break the law, and it's kind of like forcing people's hands. You know, like, if you can't, it's really like, you can't get some jobs if you have a criminal history. You just can't. So
yeah,
it's really just making,
it's taking away so much of your time and money that,
yeah, opportunities too,
right,
you
that
know,
you could have been like making a business or something.
Well, absolutely,
you're not now because you're in jail. I just wanted to like finish talking about that a little bit because it was involved in this conversation, the Trink conversation, because it was involved in this conversation we were reading from October 3rd. The U.S. Treasury Department targeted a large Chinese network of illicit drug producers. And it blows my mind because it's like, is it illegal in China? Probably. Like, they have kind of a...
Yeah, it must be, right?
They have.
I mean, it's a communist society, so I'm imagining some drugs might be illegal.
Yeah, isn't everything illegal in China?
That's what I was thinking. I was like, they have a kind of, I don't want to say conservative, but I don't know.
Dictatorship?
Yeah, but also, I don't know, I think that they're not cool with drugs. Like, really.
No, I don't think
cool
so. Yeah,
is what I'm trying to say.
I don't think there's a lot of drug freedom going on in China.
I don't think conservative is the right word. Just like, I don't know. They probably are not cool with drugs, so it's probably illegal.
They're not progressive.
Why do they need the United States government going and arresting people, though? That's just a little weird. It seems, every time I hear about something like this, it seems to, like, kind of be pushing boundaries. Like, the United States is like, yeah, what are you going to do about it, though? Like,
we are the biggest empire on the world. We get to decide what we want to do with other countries.
Right, like, the guy who is getting in trouble from Binance, he's not in the United States, and he's being charged.
Yeah.
In, like...
Yeah, it seems like it would be out of their jurisdiction, right?
Right.
You know what
he's
I mean?
Not using, it's not dollars, it's Bitcoin. Well, maybe he's taking in, using dollars in the process, but I don't have that story right in front of me. But we could get into that tonight if anyone wanted to talk about that. And if you want to call in and bring it up, 603-283-6160. But I'm going to read a little bit more from this story of, it's actually not a story, it's the U.S. Department of Treasury's website, their press release about this. It says, those designated by the OFAC, those drugs, today are also involved in the global trafficking of the drug use, traffickers. They're involved in the global trafficking of xylazine and nitazines, which are highly potent and often mixed with illicit fentanyl or other drugs. Quote, Treasury is taking sweeping action with our colleagues in law enforcement to expose and disrupt a network responsible for manufacturing and distributing illicit drugs, including fentanyl and other substances that take thousands of Americans' lives each year, unquote, said Deputy Secretary of the Treasury, Wally Adamo. That's weird. I read his name somewhere else recently. Because
huh.
I was like, isn't Adamo like a name of a guy who was a big-time activist here in
Oh, yeah. Adamo Freeman was a cop block advocate.
That's what he was. He was the cop block.
Yeah, and he's been arrested. I've heard about him on Derek J's Victimless Crimes Free video.
He got arrested recently?
No, not recently.
Oh,
but I was listening to Derek J, or watching, or whatever you want to call it, Derek J's Victimless Crimes Free video on YouTube.
Recently?
Yeah, I was listening to it or watching it recently, in fact. Either,
I still haven't seen that.
You gotta watch it.
I know. I'm like surprised. I'm like, how have I lived here for so long?
It's brilliant. I love it. I love Derek J's activism. It just makes me feel so good. I wish I could do some of it, but
I
don't want
to
get arrested.
You would love it then. I forgot that like, you knew Derek J, because I forgot he lived here when I first moved here.
He did.
But,
yeah, I don't want to get arrested. I don't want to get Lana upset and be like, oh, no, my boss is arrested.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I don't have time for that, unfortunately. But thank you for everyone who does have time for that.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your service and getting arrested so the rest of us don't have to.
I didn't watch Derek J's Victimless Crimes Free for, like, a whole, like, year into knowing Ian, which is kind of surprising. But now I've seen it more than once because he showed it to me, then my friend Anthony came and stayed for a few days, and he wanted us to show him because there's this poster upstairs.
Yeah.
And, well, Anthony's also gay, and he was like, oh, my God, Derek J is so handsome. I have to watch this. And so then I saw it then. And then Elsbeth, my little sister who lives here now, wanted to watch it. So I've seen it, like, 3 times.
Yeah.
Nice. And what did Elsbeth think about it?
She was, like, really inspired. And so was Anthony. Like, both of them have done door-knocking for quote-unquote libertarian things. It really inspires people to want to become, like, real activists. Not saying that that's 100%, not real activism, but when you're doing it for, like, young Americans for Liberty, I mean, it's not really libertarian activism.
No, it's really not. You're just knocking on doors. But when you're challenging authority, when you're stepping into this role of, I'm going to challenge these people who think they have the right to rule me, you're taking a big risk. You're paying a target on your chest. You might get arrested.
Yep. Absolutely. Derek J was facing 9 years after all the stuff, the victimless, quote-unquote, crimes that he committed.
Like filming police, you know, filming in a courtroom or whatever he was doing.
Smoking weed, I think.
Yeah, smoking weed like I do in downtown Keene, New Hampshire, which is really nice to do, but right now, because the police aren't harassing anybody.
It used to be a lot worse about it before it got decriminalized.
Yeah.
Right? It's still activism because I think it's activism because you could, potentially, they could use discretion and go after you. And
absolutely, yeah.
I think it's still
illegal on the federal level, too.
Right. So. And also, I think it's just, like, an important thing to, you know, be like, if you have the right to do it, so do it, you know? It's just, like, showing people that it doesn't matter what the social norm is, like, Riley's going to do what he wants to
do. That's how I feel about open carrying. Because, like, a lot of people are like, well, why do you open carry? Because, one, it's more comfortable for me most of the time, and two, because I can.
Changing the culture, too, like.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think, I don't know, maybe Dave Ridley was the one that coordinated this. It was a long time ago, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
But they did the open carry, like, trash pickup.
That was Dave Ridley.
And that, yeah, I thought it was Dave. But they did the open carry trash pickup, and it's like, and then also another thing, because it just shows, like, oh, my gosh, these people have guns. And then you're like, wait, they're doing a nice thing?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God, what a concept.
There was a group of moms in Concord, I believe, that did an open carry playground visit.
Oh.
And I think they were telling me, the woman I was talking to was like, oh, yeah, it's kind of, like, not in a great neighborhood. And she was like, that was the first time ever I felt, like, really, really safe bringing my kids there. She was like, no one's kid is getting snatched up today, like, with, like, 7 moms there all, where they didn't have, like, rifles or anything, but they were, like, open carrying pistols. And it's like, no one's messing with us today. And that's kind of, like, how I feel. It's like,
that's really great. Hadn't heard that.
I mean, there's, like, pros and cons to open carrying, obviously. Like, it kind of does make you a target.
Yeah.
Because it's like, if somebody's, like, shooting up a grocery store, if they see that you have a gun, it's like, well, I'm going to take this person out because they're, you know, you're going to assume everybody else is unarmed, But I think that's such a rare scenario, and I think for the most part in, like, normal day-to-day occurrences, if somebody sees that I have a firearm on me and they're like, oh, I'm going to try to, like, mess with her, not like I really worry about that in, like, New Hampshire, but just in general, it's like, you're not going to mess with me because you see that I'm armed, what I mean?
Still stuff happens, even in New Hampshire.
That's true, yeah.
Less likely because of the culture of having guns.
So I was just thinking the other day, it'd be really fun to, while we're smoking weed downtown, doing our 420 rallies, you know, there's a lot of leaves down there sometimes, and it'd be nice to take some trash bags and clean them up while we're doing our 420 rally.
Oh, that would be nice. And me and Ridley have talked about this before, where he wanted to restart doing his trash pickups, and he was doing it himself and just kind of having people film him at the time. And I was saying, oh, it would be a good idea if people, like, all tried to wear Free State Project type shirts while they were doing it.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, that'd be a good idea.
I mean, it's a good idea to keep her neighborhood clean because it's looking after the earth. And, you know, she's a nice entity. We got to look out for her, you know.
Ridley did point out it's hard to get people to wear the same shirt.
Yeah, it is, especially here in New Hampshire. We're libertarians. It's like herding cats.
Yeah. But I feel like most of us have some type of shirt that says something about liberty or something like that.
Oh, yeah. I have several.
Oh, yeah.
Can't really think of it. I have
like an NH Exit shirt like... Yeah, I used to do a lot of stuff in the Free the Crypto 6 shirts.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Chris had so many of them. So, like, anytime I would show up to an event, like, not wearing it, he would just give me another one. So I ended up with, like, 5 of them.
Oh, yeah, man. I have 2.
So, I was like, I've been, like, trying to give them away. I'm like, I know it's not really over. The Crypto 6 thing isn't over, obviously, because, like, Ian and Aria are in jail and we should absolutely, you know, like...
It's a little, like, it's not the 6, but we just kind of never changed it.
Maybe I'll just, like, cross off the 6 on the shirt and just put 2.
Yeah, we're talking about, for a while, we were should
rebranding?
We just start saying the Crypto Duo, but...
But I feel like those people were still attacked. Like, I feel like it still is the Crypto 6 because, like, all of those people were still directly attacked by the feds.
Yeah, when you talk about it in that context, like, what happened... Definitely.
Like, that's so.
And if you don't know what that means, thecrypto6.com, you can go to learn more about how this house that we're sitting in right now was raided by the FBI and the post office and the U.S.
can
Treasury.
Can you imagine a post office coming on an FBI raid and harming people? It was so atrocious.
Yep.
It's
the
atrocious.
The post office was there.
The government is an atrocious organization.
Wasn't there like
so
7
scary.
Different alphabet agencies
six.
There?
Six.
Sounds right. Oh, 6 or 7, yeah. There was apparently 56 officers at our house.
So
56?
Yeah.
That's so horrifying.
When I walked outside, it was like, there are so many people here. What's going on? Like, what? I don't want to say what I thought it could be about because that sounds... like admitting to something else bad, and it's not how I mean it. But moving on, we're talking about this story of.
We don't need you admitting to anything on air.
Well, do you know what the Derek J's victimless crime spree URL would be?
I don't.
I'll look it up during the next segment because I don't really have the brain space to like talk and try to figure that out. Well. Talking about it, but we'll give you the URL if you want to go to the URL, or you can just Google Derek J's victimless crime spree, and I'm sure that it'll come up, because you can watch it on YouTube.
Yep.
And 603-283-6160 is the phone number if you think of something you want to talk about before then. But moving on, it says, the Treasury is taking sweeping actions. Oh, I already read that one. The Treasury's actions complement indictments issued by the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of Florida in the Middle District of Florida. For information on actions taken by the U.S. Department of Justice, please see this link. And these designations, which... So, wait, I'm a little confused. So these sanctions, the Treasury's sanctions complement indictments... When I just saw a small snippet before I clicked on this link, I thought it was saying that these people in China are being charged in Florida. So is that what that means?
I think they're indicting them and charging them before they try them or whatever. I don't know. I'm not reading the story, so I couldn't answer the question.
Yeah, but I just don't know what that meant by they complement the indictments. I've just never heard that term. It says, these designations, which target 12 entities and 13 individuals based in China and 2 entities and 1 individual based in Canada, pursuant to Executive Order 14059, would not have been possible without the cooperation, support, and ongoing collaboration between the Treasury's OFAC, Internal Revenue Services, Criminal Investigations, and Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, the Drug Enforcement Administration, and the Department of Homeland Security's U.S. Customs and Border Protection Agency. Man, that kind of ties into what we were just talking about. It's like, they've got a lot of different groups of goons, and they'll use all of them to come after you if they want to.
Of course they will. That's what they do.
I like how that read like I was like giving a speech, like, we couldn't have done it without my... mother and her support.
That is what it sounded like.
Yeah.
So these partnerships highlight the Biden-Harris administration's strengthened whole-of-government offensive to save lives by disrupting illicit fentanyl supply chains around the globe. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Talk about global...
It's a global war on drugs.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not what, you know, governments are supposed to do. That's definitely not what the United States government was supposed to do with its inception. At its inception, that was not the idea.
Yeah, I mean, I know people don't like the idea of glorifying drug use, but this is not the way to solve the war on drugs.
Right. It's not glorifying drug use at all to say that this is only going to make things worse, make drug dealers who are in the business of it make more money because it's, you know, now more difficult. You're just taking out some competition for the other drug dealers, and now they're going to make more money.
Well, we'll be glorifying drug use and saying, these things are the best things ever, and they're going to save your lives, and they're going to be pushed on you by the government.
Oh, like pharmaceuticals?
Yes.
Yep, that's exactly what we do. Because it's not like people aren't addicted to, you know, Percocet right now. That they're getting from their doctor, and you can overdose on it too.
Uh-huh.
But it's a pharmaceutical drug, so it's fine. Those are the real drug dealers who are now going to be making more money whenever they take out an illicit manufacturer.
Absolutely.
This last paragraph here, it says, this action follows a rapid increase in Treasury financial sanctions targeting the illicit fentanyl supply chain, including a recent action against China and Mexico-based enablers of counterfeit pill production. Furthermore, this action demonstrates that, or the importance of coordination amongst authorities in investigating precursor supply chains and disrupting financial flows of illicit drugs proceeds, as identified in the Financial Action Task Force. This is 2022 report on money laundering from fentanyl and synthetic opioids. And actually, there's a little bit more to this, but I don't think it's necessarily important for our what we were doing here. Just want to learn more about, like, what is the U.S. Treasury Department doing going after drugs? It seems so weird and random.
It does seem a little random, but then again, the post office came to raid this house, so who knows what this so-called government, what the parasite class is doing to you.
It is just another example of a new goon squad being used. You know, like, just more people can now get a job going after other people and going on parades, which they find really fun.
Of course they do. They love power. They love authority.
603-283-6160 is the phone number. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
It's obvious. The unthinkable continues. Most Americans know something very wrong is happening. People in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. That's why self-reliant folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $200 on each 3-month food kit you purchase. My Patriot Supply also sells solar generators, gravity-powered water filters, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship that same day and arrive quickly on your doorstep in unmarked boxes. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Time is running out to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.